I was thinking this week as far as my daughter, Avery. She's 4, and man, she's acting like a teenager already. Don't laugh. That's not funny. Some of you are like, I've been through it. And this week, man, it was just a rough week. She was just not listening. She was being disciplined. She was, facing the consequences of just not listening and being in the corner and spending time in her room. We're taking stuff away, and she's talking back not to us but to her babysitter. She's talking back to this people at school. And we're just like, what has happened? And I was so frustrated this week. Like, it was just so frustrating. I was just like, man, like, girl, what is going on? Like, if this is 4, what is 14 going to look like? Pray for me. And we got 2 of them. And this morning, I don't see her in the morning. I come here early, and they brought her in to go to kids class and Authentic Kids. And as I was walking out, she was there getting ready to go in. And she said, Daddy! And she ran after me and gave me a big hug. And so did my other one, Charlie. And in that moment, I realized that even though she was crazy this week and not listening this week and being rotten this week and being disobedient this week, in that moment, I knew I loved that girl with everything I had. And I don't know, I just came to tell you today that you may be in the presence of God and feel ashamed, but if you are a child of God, you may have been disobedient this week, you may have made mistakes this week, but as soon as he saw you, he's like, I still love you. You're still my child. You're still good. And he picks us up and he cleans us all. It's a reckless love. A reckless love. A love that says even in our mistakes, he still picks us up and has something for us. I'm so grateful for that. Before we continue on, if you guys came in, you saw these cards on your seat. I know our team already talked about them. I want you to go ahead and grab that card real fast. Go ahead and grab that card. First off, you sat on it. No one else wants it. You already sat on it. No one wants to touch it after your keister's been on it. I get it. Get off your keister. Let's invite some people to Easter. No? Too much? I'm officially a dad. All right, so Easter at Authentic Church, we believe, and you heard my wife say that, don't just like throw this out to someone like, hey, have a conversation with someone. Just have a conversation, because in a conversation, it could lead to an invitation, and we truly believe that in that, it could transform someone's life, not just because of the saving grace of Jesus, but because people are looking for a place to belong. And we just believe if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, you can belong here before you believe. It's okay. Come on in with your struggles and your pains and your hurts, even if you don't believe and you have some doubts, this is a safe place for you. But we want to invite people. We want to take some of these. We have some out there too. You can take a handful of them. But I just want to pray over your invite. I want to pray that God would give you the courage to step out, to risk your reputation, and invite someone, maybe a friend, a coworker, or a family member that you've been praying for, and that God would do something in their life, just like that person we talked about in the first experience. So, Lord, we pray right now for these cards. We pray, Father God, that you would give us courage, that you'd give us just grace, Father God, to be led by your Spirit. Lord, we truly believe in the message we have. It's not a gimmick. Lord, you have changed me. You have changed us. And Lord, we may know that people may look at us weird. They may look in and say, why are they acting so crazy? But Lord, we can't help but acting crazy because you gave crazy love to us. And so we respond to you and not the critics. We respond to you and not the haters. So Lord, I pray that we would step out and we would invite someone to this grace that we have experienced. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, before you're seated, I'm going to read the scripture for you making a stand this much time. It's good for you. It's good for you. Come on, everyone, stretch it up. Stretch it down. All right, 8 of you are good now. All right. So we're going to be in Luke 7. We started a brand new series last week called Stop Tripping. We've been canceling our guilt trips because we truly believe that when Jesus went to the cross, that was our sin and shame. That was our debt. But he became guilty for us. He didn't sin, but he took sin upon himself so we could experience freedom. So last week, we talked about when in our sin that Christ paid that penalty, so now we can live in freedom and led by the Spirit. So we canceled our guilt trips last week. Who is grateful that you are no longer guilty, but you are free in Christ? So we're going to continue on with that. Now we're going to talk about what that looks like when we are guilt-free. What that looks like. And we have a story in the Bible about this woman. We don't know her name, but we realize that she has been forgiven of a lot. And her response shows us how we should respond when God cancels our debt too. says this in Luke 7, starting in verse 36. One of the Pharisees, a Pharisee was a pastor, a preacher, a teacher at the time that believed in the law. So they were looking at people like who knew the law, the Old Testament of the Bible. They had the temples. And this man, the Pharisee, asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet. Ew! And putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee, I don't care, judge me. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thought, Simon, wait, go back, sorry. I just noticed this. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. He didn't say this out loud, but Jesus was like, Just in case you came in with some crazy thoughts right now, Jesus sees them, but he still confronts them because he has something better for you. He answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher. Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. So he always used a parable to prove his point. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. One piece of silver was a day's wage. So 500 days wages of silver and 50 days wages. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt, canceling their guilt trip, canceling their sin. Remember, we had a debt we couldn't pay? We are those shekels of silver. Jesus canceled that debt. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table among them said, whoa. The men at the table said, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said, your faith has healed you, saved you. Go in peace. And I just believe today, if you came in with any turmoil in your heart, today you're going to go in peace. Today you're going to leave from your sin and shame. Today you're going to leave experiencing Jesus, and you're going to leave in peace before you head out today. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray right now that you would meet us here. Holy Spirit, thank you for this word. You're already working in our hearts. I pray that it wouldn't be my words, but it would be your words. I thank you for everyone who made it out today. Thank you for bringing them here safely. I pray, Father God, for the believer and the skeptic. I pray for the believer and the atheist. I pray for the people in here who are just listening in. I pray that they would all know that your love is so great, it's for all of us in here. And we pray, Father God, Lord, that we would be about that business, your love. And we thank you, Lord, and I pray today you're going to bring peace to situations. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Find a couple people around you and tell them, I got no shame in my game. Come on, help me out. Find a couple people, say, I got no shame in my game. I got no shame in my game. And just in case you're wondering what I am talking about, I got no shame, guilt, in my game. That's the name of this message. So as you write notes, you can write that down. Put no shame in my game. And if you want to put like a little subtitle, because I had to think of two titles because I was like, I want to call it this, but I want to call it that. So I'll give it two titles. No shame in my game. And then parentheses, let your hair down. No shame in my game. Parentheses, let your hair down. So in this story, we see this woman that we don't know much about. We just know from the author that it says a certain immoral woman. So we see this woman who was at Jesus' feet doing these crazy things that we'll talk about. And Jesus goes into a parable and talks about this parable about a story of two people who owe debts. And he said that of the ones who owe debts, I canceled them. Who loved more? Well, probably the one whose debt was bigger that you forgave. And all in all, I want to say this, is that there was this word that said that he canceled their debts. And so last week, we literally saw a lot of people's guilt and debt canceled in the presence of God as we taught about the sin and grace and what that looks like. And so God canceled a lot of debts last week. And this week, I believe that this story is a picture of what it looks like and how we live when we realize what God has canceled in our life. You see, sometimes we want God to add more. Let's just praise him for what he's already gotten out of our life first. Sometimes we want him to give more. Did you see what he took out? Give me more. Look at what he took out. He canceled our guilt and our shame and our debt. And here's a picture of a woman and how she acted being guilt-free. So my hope today is that I would show everyone in here, people who believe and know that we get crazy and loud and we lift our hands up in worship. Some people go, I don't know what that's about. I pray that I can explain that to you. People next to you will clap. They will shout. We have fun here. If God's word is alive and Jesus is alive, his church should be alive. And so we just have fun in the presence of God. And so in this moment, she realized her debt was canceled, and she was no longer guilt-free. So I'm going to look at the scripture from the avenue of this. What does our life look like when we are guilt-free? And that's why I call it no shame in our game, because when we have no shame, our game goes up a notch. When we cancel our guilt, I'm telling you, you'll look like a different person. You'll stop caring what people think about you. You'll start walking knowing who you are in Christ. And even when you slip up, you'll still get up knowing that God has redeemed it and you can still live in guilt-free. And that's when freedom comes in. And this is what she did. So I want to talk about three topics real fast in this story. And the first thing I want to cover is this word, security. Security. Everyone say, security. You guys did that really well. Everyone see Bonquiqui? No? Shakira? Bonquiqui? Anyways, we're not going to go there. Number one is security. I want to read a story, or I want to read this passage real fast, how we started out in verse 37. This is how Luke started this text. Remember, Luke is one of the Gospels of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all about the same stories told from different perspectives. Luke is writing this, and this is what he writes. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, Jesus, she brought in a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner! Exclamation part. So it's like, she's a sinner! So in this passage right away, we have this woman who comes in, and as soon as she walks in, not only does the author call her a certain immoral woman, the Pharisee calls her a sinner. I realized one thing, that coming back here, I was born and raised here. I left for a couple years to get trained up at Bible school. And I realized one thing, that even though God has canceled your debt, there's a lot of people around you who still haven't. Right? I mean, you know what God's done in your life, and you go back into those situations, and even though you're trying to remind yourself who you are in Christ, every time you go back to that situation, they remind you who you used to be. And I realized in today's society, we live so much on what people say, but we have to be focused on what Christ says, because at the end of the day, the people will never stop talking. But Jesus doesn't either, and he only has good things to say about you, hope-filled things to say about you, faith-filled things to say about you. I remember just a while ago, I was walking through Walmart, and I saw an old friend there, and I was trying to, you know, invite people out, and he just looked at me, and he just went, man, I just don't see it. You're a pastor now. And then he began to tell me about what we used to do in high school. And in those moments, you can remind yourself, man, I was a punk in high school. Man, I treated people wrong in high school. Man, I thought I had it all together in high school. I thought I knew everything back in high. And we began to talk, and surely it wasn't his heart intention, but even though Jesus has said that you are now saved, a lot of people can still condemn you by reminding you who you used to be. Isn't that tough, to be in a place where you know who you are in Christ, but people keep reminding of who you were? And then you begin to get on that guilt trip again. In this story, this woman was known to be an immoral woman and a sinner. She was actually a prostitute. You're like, Sean, my kids are in here. We have authentic kids for a reason. Now you're going to have an awkward talk on the way home. Mom, what's a prostitute? Well, I'm not going to do that, but I will tell you what it is later. She made her money doing this immoral act, going around and making her money in this sense. And Jesus spoke, and she had a moment where she heard Jesus. He was for the tax collectors and for the sinners. She responded to Jesus. She was forgiven of everything she did back there. Past was completely eradicated. But how many do you know, when you are in that line of business, people won't stop talking about the business you used to be in? And in this moment, she was still recognized as a certain immoral woman, and she was a sinner. But at the end of this story, Jesus says these words, forgiven. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when people begin to call you a sinner, you remind them that Jesus calls you forgiven. That even though they remind you of who you used to be, Jesus always reminds you of who you are in Christ. He doesn't point you back to your sin and shame. He always points you ahead to what he has for you. My mom comes here a lot. My dad runs sound. My mom's on the worship team, and she helps around in other areas. And when we first started a church, as the church was growing, she would go out into the community, and people would stop her, and they'd be like, and wave, and she'd wave back, and sometimes she'd wave back even if she didn't know him, because we have to do that sometimes. She goes, Sean, who you know, looks like this and like that? I'm like, I don't know. Did you wave back? She goes, yeah, I act like I knew him. Like, that's all you got to do. Just be like, hey! You're like, did he wave at me and not know me? Guys, our church has grown. There's times where people see me because I'm on stage, but then I'm like, hey, it's good seeing you, you know? And then it gets like that. And the reason why I say that is every time they go up and like, hey, you're Sean's mom, right? And she goes, yeah, I'm Pastor Sean's mom. And she goes somewhere else, hey, you're Sean's mom, right? Hey, you're Sean's mom. And everyone be going, you're Pastor Sean's mom. And she would come to me and goes, she goes, everyone knows me by I'm Pastor Sean's mom. It's like, I have a name too. It's Melissa Jensen. I gave birth to that 10-pound baby. You're welcome. You wouldn't be preaching if I didn't be pushing, right? Too much? She goes, I have a name too. How many of you feel like that sometimes? You walk back out, and even though you've been in church for a couple weeks or a couple years, people still remind you of who you were 5 years ago. You're like, I have a name too. I'm not just a certain immoral woman. I have found Christ, and I am brand new in Christ. I'm not known by my sin. I'm known by my Savior. I am forgiven. He is brand new. People may remind you of your shame, but Jesus always calls you by your name. Come on. He sees you. He knows you in this security. So in this moment, this woman, God, realize this. She was walking. She was, don't laugh at me. No, you can laugh at me. She was walking into a Pharisee party. The religious people. I'm telling you, this would be like walking into the most judgmental church you can think of in when you're pregnant and you don't have a husband. I'm glad we don't have a church that shames people when they come in like that. Because their stuff is just as much as your stuff. But think about that moment. That's why people are still scared to come to church, because they think they're going to be judged by the Pharisees. And it still happens. And she didn't care. She was like, where's Jesus at? At the Pharisee party? Okay. And she crashed the Pharisee party to get to Jesus' feet. I'm telling you, when you realize what Jesus says about you, you could care less what the Pharisees say about you. Yeah. Walked right in. I'm sure she was scared. I'm sure she was nervous. But in that moment, I want to get to you in this point right now. We have too many insecure Christians. I am one of them. We have too many people who are so focused on their insecurities. And the number one way to battle your insecurity is to focus on what Christ says about you. Stop trying to find validation about what people say about you. Even if it's good or bad, just excuse it and say, God, what do you say about me? Because when you find out what God says about you, you could care less what people say about you. You don't need the validation of others. Insecurity, we look for validation from people and what they say about us, and then we beat ourselves up. But if you find out what Christ says about you, who could care less what other people say about you? Who could care less what people say about you? It said, she is a sinner. And Jesus said, no, she has been forgiven. She has been forgiven. I want to show you a picture real fast. My wife, for Christmas, bought me these boots. I'm wearing them right now. Whoop, bam! You're like, Sean, those are your boots or her boots? Stop. Sitting over there, mismatching your clothes, judging the pastor and how he looks good. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So she sent me these things, and so I was like, I was so excited, and I wanted to like encourage her. So I posted on Facebook that my wife got me a gift. Her love language is like words of affirmation and stuff like that. So I posted and said, hey, my wife got me these boots. She's incredible. I love her. I can't wait to rock them. And you would think I posted about killing a puppy. Oh my goodness. The most comments and the most things I've ever got liked. I can talk about Jesus and scripture, I get 4 likes. I talk about boots, there's 400 likes and 50 comments. And the people are like, are those your boots or did you take a picture of her boots? And then one of my friends in here says, hey, where's your hat with the feather in it? I thought that was hilarious, Paul Frazier. I thought that was hilarious. I sent him a picture of Prince back. I'm like, come on. And the reason why I bring this is, I was posting as a joke. I already get this a lot because I wear skinny jeans. I know, people look at it and they think it's crazy and they think it's weird. But I realized that on Sunday, guess what? I still wore them. Can I tell you why I wore them? And I didn't worry about what other people said. Because if my wife thinks they look good, I could care less what you think about them. Because if they look good, I get to go home with her. And I guess I need to tell you today, when you find out what God says about you, you could care less what people say about you. You can start walking. I ain't got no shame in my game. That was my past, but I am forgiven right now. I'm forgiven right now. There's no shame in my game. She walked in. She goes, I'm forgiven. I'm going to act like I'm forgiven. You know how she acted like she was forgiven? She walked into a place where she should have been insecure, but she knew exactly what her father said. Paul says in Scripture, I didn't come to win your approval. I came to win my father's approval. If I'm trying to win your approval, I'm no longer a servant to Christ, but to a servant to you. That's why we preach about hard topics here, because I'm not looking for your validation. As long as my God says, Sean, you preach it, I'll preach it. And if people sit and they get uncomfortable, I'll preach it. And if people stand and get praises to God, I'll preach it, because I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for him. If we have his validation, I'm telling you, you want to break off some insecurity in your life, find out what Christ says about you. Yeah. My wife loves me even when I dance crazy up front. My wife loves me even when I sing and I can't hit the key. My wife loves me even when I act funny and everyone else doesn't laugh at my jokes. Why? Because she loves me. Your father loves you. Don't worry about what the critics say, what the haters say, the people who remind you of all the things. What Christ has said about you is forgiven. And he meant it. And he meant it. So when we live guilt-free, we can step into situations. We can begin to find security in Christ. So you can let your hair down. The next thing we can talk about is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, I was writing this word out, and I was like, oh, this is the moment. Like, oh, sacrifice. Can we use, like, a better word? Because as soon as you say sacrifice, it's like, welcome to church. Sacrifice. Forgetting that the whole reason why we're here is because of a sacrifice. Sacrifice. You see, I was going to put the word love. 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 Number two, love. Why? Because it said that she loved much, and we love. And I'm not talking about love like Chipotle, like I love Chipotle love. Well, I'm not talking about that love. I'm talking about a love. See, I realized instead of putting love, I put sacrifice, because here's the truth of the matter. You can't have love without sacrifice. So I put sacrifice. You see, it said that she loved much, but I see sacrifice here. Love is just a product of sacrifice. People know how much you love by what you sacrifice. You think I'm lying? I'll show you. I can see people who can post on Facebook, and they can post everywhere about how much they heart their church and they love their church, and that's great. That's awesome. You can post it all day. I love it. Keep doing it. Great. But if it rains 2 drops, you're like, oh, we can't go out there. It looks like we're going to stay in and watch movies. I really know where your love is. Oh, too real? Or how about loving your wife? You can sit and say you love your wife, but if you can't sacrifice the clubs maybe 2 days a week, maybe you go out and you golf 4 times a week, but you can't take your wife out 1 time a month, you don't love her, you love golf. Oh, man, I just saved 3 marriages today on that one. He's like, I'm sorry. And on the other end, too, we can sacrifice, right? We may have to sacrifice what we want to say to our husband when he comes home from work and maybe share some love and saying, thanks for bringing home the money, baby. I appreciate you. Did you have to go to the wives next, right? I guess what I'm trying to say is you can't have love without sacrifice. And if we're going the whole other way, Jesus himself became a sacrifice. God sent his son. What it says, this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. This is love, that he sent his son as a sacrifice. You can't have love without sacrifice. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll follow my commands. If you love me, you'll sacrifice yourself to do what I'm asking you to do. Love is always part of sacrifice. In this scripture, verse 37, it says, when a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating Jesus, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. First off, kissing nasty feet is a huge sacrifice. Yeah. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that Jesus was there, there's so much sacrifice happening here. Her sins were forgiven, and her actions showed it. I believe the only way to leave sin is through grace. You can't guilt people. You can't shame people. And only God's grace will leave you empowered to step away from sin. I truly believe that. But when we realize what has happened for us, we'll begin to walk away from sin. Why? Because we have a healthy understanding of what Jesus did for us. We'll sacrifice things of ourselves to follow him. This is how she reacted. She said that she had expensive perfume. This perfume in this time was very expensive. Some people said the amount she had was equivalent to a year's wages, which means she worked for a full year, and all the money she made, she bought this perfume with and then poured it at Jesus' feet. So next time we complain that we have to be at church at 9 in the morning, you could just give us all what you made last year. We'll take it. But what I'm trying to say, and my point is this, is that she sacrificed so much in this moment. She not only poured the perfume, she sacrificed what she felt like because she walked into a bunch of Pharisees' room. It said that she began to cry. She was so overwhelmed by Jesus that tears hit his feet. This wasn't like she was forcing herself to cry. She's like, okay, I got to wash his feet. So she was so overwhelmed that tears hit. And when the tears hit, some scholars say that she was so embarrassed because she was crying on his feet that instead of looking for a towel, she hurried up and put her hair down and began to clean them. Now, if you understand this culture, as soon as that woman's hair went down, everyone at the table went, she let her hair down. It was a shameful act. But when you get caught up in God's grace, you could care less about what tradition says, what culture says, what religion says. You just care what Jesus says. And she let down her hair, and she sacrificed her ego, her shame, and she cleaned it off. This story is a picture of what it means to live a guilt-free life. Some people are like, so you're saying that Jesus was a sacrifice, but now we sacrifice? Yes. Because look at what it says in Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. That word praise means thankfulness to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. We live in a culture where a lot of us are pleading allegiance to something else. We're so loud about other things we hold allegiance to. He says, will you give me a sacrifice of praise? He says, therefore, let us, through Jesus, a continual sacrifice of praise, just in case you thought you had to feel it before you did it. Because I'm telling you, sacrifice doesn't feel good. And a lot of us are looking for a feeling to worship God. A lot of us are looking for a feeling to be obedient to God. A lot of us are looking for a feeling. He says, no, no, no. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your feeling to worship God. You got to throw that thing on the altar. In the scripture, you have to understand what it says, because it says, therefore. So we have to go, we have to understand why it's therefore. Hebrews 13, 10 through 14, right before this says, we have an altar from which the priest in a tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the Old Testament, back in before Jesus came, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. So they would take the blood from the animal, put it into the holy place, and they would use the animal's blood. And the body of the animal was burned outside the camp as an offering. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates on the mountain of Golgotha. He died outside the city walls to make his people holy by means of his own blood that was shed on the cross. So let us go to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. They're saying back in the old time, every time someone sinned, they would have to pour blood from an animal, take it to the holy place, burn the animal outside the gates, and they had to do that every time. But they said in this new system, Jesus was the animal. I about thought about calling this message, Jesus is an animal. But he was treated like one for you and I. He wasn't an animal, but he got treated like one. We were the animals. He took it upon himself. And it said that he was the offering, the sacrifice, once and for all, past, present, future sins. Right there, he became the sacrifice. One sacrifice, why? So we don't have to keep running into the Holy of Holies and outside the gate every time we sin. Jesus became that payment, and now we can come to him in grace saying, my guilt has been set free, so I'll give you a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thankfulness. Remember, Jesus said in this parable, Who do you think was more grateful? 500 or 50? So 500. And because she realized how great her sin was, she loved that much too. That's why when you come in, you wonder why people are lifting up their hands, jumping up and down, shouting. It's because our church has an awareness of what God has saved them from. Because when you have an awareness of how big your mess was, then you'll give God a big, messy praise. See, I look at this story, and I realize that if we have, he saved me from a little mess, I'll give him a little praise. But you got to realize that all of us were on our way to hell and destruction and brokenness and pain and hurt and discord and strife. And Jesus stepped in and changed it. And when we realize that, our praise breaks. She realized what she has been forgiven from, and so she pours out this sacrifice. She steps in front of the Pharisee. She sacrifices her ego. So I guess what I'm trying to say this is let us offer Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise, meaning if it needs to be a sacrifice, you have to throw some things on the altar, like your pride. Some of us still aren't praising God because our pride's in the way. He says, throw that pride on the altar. Throw that ego on the altar. Throw that guilt on the altar. Some of you worshiped last week, but you can't do it this week because you said some things this week you're not proud of. He says, throw that on the altar. Get your hands up. I have cleansed it. I have forgiven it. Get some things on the altar. Love is sacrifice. I can tell you why I'm going crazy in the front row because I just have an awareness of what God saved me from. When I look around and see what God's doing in our church, I had no idea 10 years ago this is where we would be. But he saved me. He renewed me. He pulled me up out of the pit and put me on solid ground. And he said, Sean, if you listen and are obedient to me, I will take care of you. I will bring a fine lady into your life, which he did. And I'm thankful. I am thankful. And because I am thankful, I can pour out my praise. You see, in the story, she poured out this perfume. And so many times, I've heard so many preachers talk about this, and I've done it too. They're like, you realize how expensive that perfume was? In our eyes, it was expensive. Yeah, that was expensive. She was pouring out this expensive perfume, her wages. But was it really expensive? I mean, let's be honest. Like, I remember I was wearing some shoes that I got for like, $60. I was like, man, I spent too much money because I don't like spending that much money on shoes. People are like, what? That's not $60? Okay, cool. I feel better about myself now. I remember I'm like, yeah, they were like $60 and stuff like that. And I remember running into a person. I was like, I paid so much for this and sacrificed this. And they're like, yeah, mine are like $200. I was like, I realized that mine weren't as expensive as his. You see, we look at the story and we realize that, yeah, it may have been expensive. And in this moment, as she was pouring out her perfume, let me tell you, you got to lean in on this because I don't want you to miss this. Was it really that expensive? Because I believe in her sight, she goes, you may think this is expensive, but it's the least I could do. I'm pouring out perfume, but he poured out his blood. And if he poured out his blood, the least I can do is pour out a little bit of perfume, a little bit of Dolce & Gabbana, a little bit of things that can't go with me anymore. Oh, come on, church. You know that God has saved you from a big thing, and he deserves a big praise. She realized in this moment, what Christ, he says, listen, this is nothing. It's the least I can do. And when I look back, I'll tell you why I lift up my hands in worship. I'll tell you why I jump up and down. I'll tell you why I give my God a big praise and don't care what people think. Because he rescued me. He saved me. He made me brand new. And if you're in here and he saved you from addiction and he saved you from your pain and he made you brand new, I dare you to get up and give him a sacrifice of praise. Throw some things on the altar. He made you new. He made you brand new. We can't sit when he's done so much for us. Now, this is why we worship. This is why, like, I don't know, this church is too rowdy for me. Do I have to do that by next week? No. But the more you hang around Jesus and you realize what he saved you from, your praise will continue to get greater. It'll continue to get greater. And can I tell you something? While you thank God for what he's done for you, it reminds you what he's done for you. The best way to live a guilt-free life is to remind you that Jesus canceled your guilt. because it'll constantly remind you that you don't live it anymore. Can I tell you, maybe your freedom comes from this thanking God. We were having prayer with our team a couple weeks ago, and we're getting ready to pray with all these prayer needs. Hey, what do we want to pray for? What are we going to pray for? Upcoming series, Easter's coming up. Hey, what are we going to pray for? What are we going to pray for? And we got them all written down, and we go to grab hands, because we're a praying church, by the way. And as we go to pray, we have our leaders, our directors, and their wives, who are also directors because we do it together, and kids are in the back. Katie's watching all the kids while we're praying. She's sacrificing. And we're getting ready to pray, and Colin Duncan, I'm like, okay, guys, let's pray. And Colin's like, can I say something? I was like, no! I'm just kidding. I didn't say that to him. Like, yeah, I can see him doing that. I was like, yeah, man, what's going on? He goes, before we start praying to God, can we just praise him for what he has done in our church? When you wake up in the morning, before you start praying that God would give you something, can we just praise that he gave you the lungs, the breath in your lungs to even start praying in the first place? When you begin to thank God first, you remind yourself what he's done for you, and you begin to shout that. Try praising him before you praying to him. It says, I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And when I do that, it's the passport to his presence. You want to feel God in your life? Take some moment in the morning and thank him from what he saved you from. Thank you from what he has saved you from, the addictions, the pains, the hurts. Thank him for your friends. I wake up in the morning, and this is what I do now. So I heard this, even with Colin reminding me. Now I wake up, and sometimes I'm like, God, I wake up with anxiety. God, I need you to help me with this. I need you to help me with this. And I realized, you know what? God deserves my praise no matter what. I'm going to take some time to thank him every time I pray. So I started saying, God, thank you so much for your grace this morning. I got crazy yesterday. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for the breath in my lungs so I can even pray to you. Thank you that I live in America when people are getting their heads cut off because people are seeing them pray. Thank you that I live in a place where I can express my freedom. Thank you for people in my life. Thank you for the friends I've been. Thank you for my wife, because she is hot. Thank you so much that she prays for me, that she encourages me. Thank you that when I don't have the words to say, she can say it. Thank you when I wake up in a tear, she prays over me. Thank you for her. Thank you for my girls. They are beautiful, and even though they're stubborn sometimes, they're going to be great leaders. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the church. Thank you for these amazing people who fill the seats. Thank you for bringing people in that you would even trust me to preach your words to these people. Thank you so much. Thank you for your favor. It ain't fair. God's not fair. If he was fair, we would not be in good shape. But he's not fair, and so he gives us his love instead. Thank you for that. And what's happening in those moments, instead of being worried about the things that I'm coming to face, I'm going to be like, man, if he did it back there, I'm going to thank him for this thing that he's going to do right now here too. So I'm not just going to praise him for what he's done in my life. I'm going to praise him for what he's going to do in my life too. Let's thank him. Let's be a thankful church. Let's praise him. When we come in on Sunday, I don't care what you feel like, sacrifice it. I don't care what your ego says, sacrifice it. I don't care what your week looked like, put it on the altar and give your God praise. We offer a sacrificial love of praise, a continued sacrifice of praise. Not only do we find security, not only do we live a life of sacrifice, but we also live a life of peace. Peace. It says in scripture in here that as we look at this story, this woman came into a predicament. And I'm going to kind of help you build this up a little bit before we close. But in this story, Jesus says these words after this whole thing happens. He forgives her. And he says these words. He says, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. Now, the reason why I said your faith saved you is because here's the truth. God can't force you to receive his gift. What's the gift? Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again. And now he says, if you want eternal life and your sins eradicated, you have to receive this gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay off a gift. I don't give my daughter a gift. And she goes, okay, Dad, how much did that cost? Get my checkbook. I don't know why my daughter has a checkbook. We don't even have a checkbook. Anyway, so Jesus was that gift, and it says you can only receive it by faith, by believing. It takes faith to live a guilt-free life. It takes faith to believe that your sins are eradicated even though you just messed up. It takes faith to believe that Christ's blood is bigger than your mistakes. But the blood that was shed on the cross, in that moment when it hit the earth, it was a picture that Jesus came down. He was a humble servant to us. He died and rose again so we wouldn't have to live in our guilt and shame anymore. We didn't have to worry about what people say, but we have no more shame in our game. But then he said this, go in peace. Go in peace. Some of you came in here and you have no peace. Your past is wreaking havoc on you. Things you've done maybe back in high school, maybe last week, maybe a long time ago. You're like, Sean, I want to receive this grace, but I'm too dirty. I'm not good enough. I'm a mess. I am a project. He knows. He knew all the sins you were going to commit and still went to the cross. He knew them before you did. And he still went to the cross for me and for you. And he said, now go in peace. I want to show you something. It says this in verse 47 and 48. At the end of the story, it says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, it's like, thanks, Jesus, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Back to verse 47. I tell you, her sins are many, have been forgiven. Past tense. Right? He just said it. They have been. It's already been taken care of. So much so, she shows love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Wait. They were forgiven. And Jesus says, they are forgiven. You know why I love Jesus so much? He knows that sometimes we try to put the guilt back on us. And as she walked through that place, even though she had been forgiven before, she still was trying to shake the thoughts of her prostitution. She was still trying to shake the thoughts of her sin and her mistakes. And they keep trying to haunt her. But when she comes to Jesus, he whispers in her ear, I said you were forgiven and you're still forgiven. When Christ says you're forgiven, he means it. You're forgiven and he'll reassure you. So if you came in here today and you made a decision to follow Christ, he wants to let you know right now, that thing that's trying to creep up this week on you that you did back there, you are forgiven. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. Stop letting the cares or the worries and the critics all around you bring turmoil into your soul. Know that you've been forgiven by God and you are no longer held accountable to that. You can go in peace today. Smart off to your wife on the way to church, go in peace. Did some things in high school you're not proud of, go in peace. Spent some time in the bar for far too long, saying some things you didn't want to say, go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. Did some drugs and some addictions that you can't hang up when you're still trying to overcome it, go in peace. No, Sean, I'm still struggling with it, go in peace. God's going to give you the strength you need, not in your guilt, but in his grace. In his grace. You're no longer a sinner. You are forgiven. Can we just say, if we're in Christ, can we stop saying, I'm a sinner? That's not biblical. Are we perfect? No. But I think it's a gut punch to Christ when we come to him and then we start telling people we're still sinners. But Sean, I made a mistake. Yes, you made a mistake, but that mistake doesn't define you. They never call people in Christ sinners, not once in this Bible. He always speaks to the righteous state. So next time you make a mistake, instead of saying I'm a sinner, say this, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. It doesn't feel right. I know I made a mistake. I know I don't deserve this grace, but thank God I'm forgiven. I can get back up and I can conquer the sin because of God's grace. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. With eyes closed, if you need to be forgiven today. I'm talking about people who are already in Christ. If you need to just be reassured that you're forgiven. Yes, you've made a mistake. Yes, we make mistakes, but we are not called sinners anymore. We are called forgiven. And when we realize that, we can step away from the sin. If you're holding some guilt this morning, you need to go in peace. Could you lift up both hands, not to me, but to God? This is an act of surrender, a sacrifice of praise. Come on, just throw those hands up. Say, I need some peace in my heart. We believe in prayer. Holy Spirit, you see the hands right now. I pray, Father God, in this moment, come on, there's more people that need to lift up your hands. Sacrifice that pride. Sacrifice that ego. Yeah, there we go. Come on, lift those hands up. Lord, there's some things in my past I'm not proud of, but in this moment, I want to know that they've been forgiven. I give those things to you, Lord. We give them to you right now. We lay them at your feet. Lord, I know that you have forgiven us, but sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we have been forgiven. So I'm no longer defined by my sin and shame. I'm no longer defined by my mistakes, but I'm defined by Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on the cross. And because I've been set free, I will live like I'm free. I will leave sin behind me. I will leave destruction behind me. I will leave bondage behind me. I will leave the things that tear me apart behind me, because it's the grace that empowers me to step away from my sin. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. You can put those hands down. If you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Christ, remember I told you it's received by faith. Just receive the gift. Jesus died in your place. If you've never made this decision in your life, in your heart, this is your moment, because you are in your guilt. And the only way to cancel your guilt trip is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, you said, Sean, I've always been in church, or maybe I've heard about church, but I've never by myself said, Jesus, I want you to be first in my life, then you are still stuck in your sin and shame, and I'm sorry, but your destruction is upon you. And God loves you too much to see that happen to you. He sent his son to die for you so that you could find life in Christ. He doesn't want to send people to hell. He wants to save people from hell. And this is your moment now. If you want to get rid of your past, you have to extend in faith. So we're going to pray together, all of us together. But if you are going to pray it for the first time, I want you to pray it in your heart. This is between you and God. Everyone say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, to take my sin, to take my shame. My mistakes are swallowed up in your grace. Forgive me. Those were my wrongs, and you paid for them. I recognize that. You are the Son of God, and you rose again. So I'm going to follow you, even when it gets hard. I choose to continue this walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.